And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, though?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cold check-in.
Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what exactly is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen Jacoby is brought to you by Goodyear, celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for the offers. We always say we give our listeners podcast exclusive content, and we have some of that with the head coach of the soon-to-be national champion Michigan's men's basketball team. Here is some extended interview with Juwan Howard. We always say we give exclusive content with our guests for our podcast listeners, and here's some exclusive podcast content, not on the television show. So I want to ask you a question, Juwan. My co-host Jalen Rose claims that he has never been dunked on, and we can't find any footage of it.
I didn't play defense.
Have you ever seen this man been dunked on? It had to have happened once, right?
You know, that's a good question, man. Put it like this. I think he may have allowed his player that he was guarding to blow by him and allow me and C-Webb to get dunked on.
You got to play defense to get dunked on. I try to tell him. It depends on who my big man is. But Rez DeLange asked an important question to Juwan. Because when you look back at us in college, Juwan, from then until now, was always the most crispy. Can you let them know who was cutting our hair in college?
Well, it was me. I was the barber the first, like, you know, first part of the semester in our freshman year. And as my grades started to slip a little bit because I was putting so much time into making everyone look good, I found a barber for us. I found a barber on campus that was a law student. And then also after that, we also had another barber we could go to at a barber shop. So, but I was the barber, man.
Well, Coach, I really appreciate all the time that you've given us today. I know you're very busy as you're ramping up for a long tournament run. Just want you to know that we will be pulling for you all tournament, watching every second of it. Appreciate you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you guys, man. Thank you for the support, and I mean it, man. It means a lot to me and the program, man. Thank you, man. Sure. Love you, brother.
Love you, too. Have a good one. Best of luck.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I want to thank Juwan for coming through. We had some tech problems. Remember that, Jalen? He was so cool. You know, he waited. He was patient. You know, he's very busy. He's at the tournament. He's in the bubble. And he gave us a full hour of his time. So we really appreciate him for that. Jalen, this is a podcast exclusive. So don't get fired. Do not get fired. Topic of the day. Right now, there is a lawsuit being put together by many women who are claiming that Deshaun Watson hired them for massage services and then tried to get sexual. This is a he said, she said thing. I was not there. I do not pretend to know whether this did or did not happen, but due to the number of accusers, this does seem like something that potentially did happen. What do you think about this lawsuit that's being put together against Deshaun Watson?
We're not going to dismiss any charges of, you know, sexual abuse or allegations because, like you said, we weren't there. I hate to hear scenarios of people getting sued a lot because I also understand the day that you do a press conference and you tell the world how much money you make in any profession, that also makes you a target. And sometimes these allegations normally happen after you get your big deal. And I noticed, like, he just got a big deal. It's hard for me to comment really on, like, you know, what to say, think, or feel, or believe. You know, what do you think?
We don't know exactly what happened. Only the two people in the room do. But one thing that I think is important is to always believe the accusations. And now that doesn't mean that innocent until proven guilty doesn't exist. But I think taking accusations like this seriously and investigating them and getting to the truth is extremely important, because any sort of sexual misconduct, especially against women, especially in the workplace, is something that should be treated very seriously. And we treat it so seriously that we will not comment on it because we don't know the true truth of what happened. So we'll get back to our regularly scheduled program. Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, Del?
Two things I know you love. The Wu-Tang Clan and Versus Battles this Saturday.
Yes, yes.
We have Ghostface Killer, Raekwon the Chef, going head to head. There was a video shared by Reg the Ledge on Twitter. That's how it came to my attention. And it was Ghost in the studio preparing, Raekwon preparing on the other side. And this did not, it's going to get competitive. Just because they're friends and brothers doesn't mean it's not competition. And I'm very excited for this Versus battle. I can't wait for this Versus battle. What do you expect to see?
I expect to see hit records. And the beauty of the battle is how they navigate the songs that they're on together. Mm-hmm. Like, are they going to use like every 3 to 4 songs to do together to celebrate the catalog? Because they're on so many hits together, you can't separate all of those songs for the 20 versus battle songs between their Wu-Tang records, their Only Built for Cuban Link records, their collab records on Apollo Kids or whatever. You can't just separate them. And so I want to see how that plays out for sure. But I'm really excited for both of them to get the stage and to get the opportunity to show their personalities. Not only their bars, but their personalities. You know, a lot of people don't know, you know, that don't intimately follow hip hop or depending on how old you are, but Ghostface Killer is one of the most colorful characters in the history of hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? From the Iron Eagle to his outfits to his bars, you know what I'm saying? So I'm excited about that. Half Moon Caesar, Raekwon, him and Nas, you know, listen to their album again. Listen to their album again. How it was just unedited, like our pod. You might hear some things with their nose. I hear a lot of sniffing, and I hear a lot of, like, you know, mistakes, because it was raw. And that's what this Versus battle gonna be.
We've seen the blueprint with Too Short and E-40. And let me explain. Two people, they're obviously friends, but it's still competitive. They rep a certain city in a certain era, and they're very unique with their linguistic styles, both on and off wax. And I think you're getting a lot of that. Even in this video of Ghost and Ray talking, they're just using nouns and adjectives in ways I've never heard before. And that's one of my that's one of my favorite things about it. You know, it's just like conversation between the two combatants will be just as interesting as the actual songs that they use. Like, this is going to be an E-40 and Too Short type of a battle where, remember, at the end of the E-40 Too Short battle, they basically started running a bunch of tracks they were on together. So I expect a similar format. It's their solo songs they're not on together, their features. And then at the end, they decide to form like Voltron and give us a bunch of songs they have together. I've got some other hip-hop news before we transition into sports. Our guy, friend of the show, Griselda's own Benny the Butcher.
The Butcher coming!
The Butcher's Ninja. Coming. And he said that he's got a song with Aubrey Graham. With Drake. Do you know what this means? Do you know what this means, Mr. Rose? Do you know what this means, Mr. Rose?
Oh, our guy going mainstream.
Benny's been stopped. He's going to stop answering our calls. He's going to end up on First Take. All right. He's going to be on First Take. Sorry, guys. Can't do the show. I'm going to be on First Take. I'm going to Stephen A's world. That's what's happened so many times before. And you know what's next. You know that's what's next.
Nah, he ain't going to do us like that. That's our mains in there. We got an intro made for him on the show. Hopefully we get a chance to run it soon. Maybe tomorrow.
I would love to see it. I would absolutely love to see it. Now, Jalen, friend of the show, LaMelo Ball. we've been on the LaMelo Ball corner for so long.
Tried to tell him.
Dude, we've been on the LaMelo Ball corner for so long.
Tried to tell him.
I looked right into this camera in this studio and said, any GM that does not draft LaMelo Ball is going to regret it. Tell him. If you are the GM for the Timberwolves or the Warriors, I'm sure you're happy with the development of Wiseman and Edwards, but LaMelo Ball is a star. And he is playing against LeBron James tonight. He plays against LeBron James. And he said that he doesn't sweat it. It's not a thing. Because he wasn't really like that. He was more about his family. And he wasn't about the stars and going out two games. So what do you think about LaMelo Ball being somewhat dismissive of this matchup against the Lakers and LeBron James?
That's the only attitude you should have. What do you think I felt going in my first game against MJ, against Shaq, against Hakeem Olajuwon? You just got to get out there and ball. You can't be a fan when you're going up against Clyde Drexler or these great players. They'll take your kindness for weakness. They'll smell blood in the water, and they'll really dominate you. They're already more experienced. They've already been around the league. They're already looking for a rookie to take advantage of. So for you to come in the game and be in awe or singing their praises too much or wearing their shoes and stuff like that, that's just little cues for them to come in and try to go at you.
Great point, Mr. Rose. So there's something that we brought up with Juwan, but I want to get your thoughts on it particularly. Some of the players in the tournament have started to use the hashtag not NCAA property. As someone who was tackling these issues, what, 25, 26 years ago, if my math is right? 27? How do you feel about this sort of burgeoning movement of the players themselves sort of using their voice to express how they want things to change in the NCAA?
I feel like Spencer Haywood. I feel like Oscar Robertson. I need my flowers. I need some royalties. That's how I feel.
Okay.
I need some royalties. You know what I'm saying?
They went from flowers to money real quick.
Yeah, because I don't need the flowers. I'd rather have the money. I thought I don't need the awards. I'd rather have the rewards. Like T. Grizzly said, it's long overdue, and it's just like something that was happening so flagrant in society. But you know, large companies were able to suppress the talent, in this case, athletes, by using the excuse that they were looking out for them by giving them a scholarship and trying to sell it to the public like those dollars were equal, when they're clearly not equal by no stretch of the imagination. Because Alabama's football team make from the program what it costs to get those X amount of student athlete scholarships. So based on that math, I'm glad that it's happening, but it's going to be interesting to see what coaches and people fighting. I'm going to throw some names out there that's kind of been under the radar that I see fighting stuff to kind of get a pass. I saw what Jim Boeheim said about Jalen Johnson missing Duke. I know he wasn't happy about it. I saw that. I saw Dabo Sweeney not really happy about college athletes being able to use their name and likeness. That's going to affect their recruiting. If Dabo, you don't want us to use our name and likeness, he going to stop getting the best players. So I'm interested to see how those situations play out moving forward also.
That's a good point, Mr. Rose. Something that we mentioned briefly on the show, but that was during the keep moving, hit the brakes thing, is something I want to dig a little bit deeper into, is the Celtics losing to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And as we record this podcast, they now are not looking strong in the standings. And we always say that success is a function of realistic expectations. Just how below expectations are the Celtics right now at 20-20? Only a half game ahead of the New York Knicks and a half game behind the Hornets in the Eastern Conference.
So you're saying currently Cleveland, this isn't for you. And let me just point out this. I never played for Drew Joyce, but LeBron James did. And no shade to where he's the assistant coach cutting down the nets, and I'm glad they're in the tournament doing a terrific job. But you mean to tell me you got LeBron James on your resume and he can't go get a job at one of those coaches in college, one of those smaller schools? I got love for Rick Pitino, but he done rebounded a couple of times. Like, can't go get one of those type gigs? So I'm going to be looking for that next offseason.
Do you have any thoughts on the Boston Celtics?
The Boston Celtics, I told you, they overplayed their hand years ago. I know you're tired of hearing me say it, but, you know, they had the assets. They had the opportunity to make moves. They didn't get their big in the draft, and they didn't get their guard in the backcourt. They lost Scary Terry. He's averaging 20. You lost Gordon Hayward, even though you weren't going to pay him. He's averaging 20. You lost Al Horford, even though you weren't going to pay him. He's still productive. You lost Kyrie Irving for nothing. He all NBA. You don't get better by losing those guys and then missing on your draft picks as bigs. So they got to do a reset because Kimball isn't all NBA no more. And that's who he was when they traded for him.
Now, Jalen, you know that I've got sort of a motto when I evaluate NBA duos. And one of the things I like to stay away from is redundancy. I feel like Kawhi and PG, a little bit of redundancy there. And I feel the same way about Tatum and Brown. Do you think that duo is long to be a duo in Boston?
Yes. You can't break them up. Yes. You gotta keep those two together. Because I know exactly what you mean about, like, they seem like they're in this cup. They both seem like they need the ball in the same areas to be effective. That's really what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know what solves that? A point guard.
Yeah.
Just that. And so what did I just tell you their problem was? They lost all of their guards and Kimball ain't all NBA. He ain't the point guard. That's the problem.
Well, I would also say that when you're watching Celtics games, keep an eye on this for everyone that's watching Celtics games. Keep an eye on how many times Brown and Tatum assist for each other. See, I like my duos. I like LeBron throwing lobs to AD. You know, I like Luka throwing lobs to KP. And I like James Harden kicking out to Kyrie for an open three and things like that. Like, and when I watch the Celtics, a lot of times is it Tatum taking his man off the dribble or is it Brown taking his man off the dribble? And you see a lot of that with them. And we've discussed it before. But one thing I do want to discuss with you very briefly, Ms. Rose, is do you know what team in the NBA, in the Eastern Conference, has the worst record?
Hey, Cunningham Sweepstakes, baby. That's
Detroit
all I'm
Pistons.
Focused on.
You're Detroit.
Hey, Cunningham. If I'm going to be unbearable if we get him.
Oh, no.
Like we might as well move the show to Detroit for real. I'm talking about to the Pistons practice facility.
I've got a better fit for the Pistons than Cade Cunningham. Are you ready?
Of course you do. Of course you
I've
do.
I've got a better fit
listening.
Than Cade Cunningham.
I've
got a better
to
one. Oh, really? Would you be interested in I don't know, a gentleman by the name of Jalen Green? Imagine a Jalen in a Pistons uniform getting buckets. Jalen Green is projected to be a top five pick, sort of a franchise changing player. I think that Detroit Pistons will end up with picking Jalen Green like third. There's going to be Jalen in a Detroit uniform.
I'm not mad at that. But, you know, I don't necessarily want a player named Jalen. I want a player that's the number one pick that plays like it. And both of those guys had a potential. I totally agree. Because Jalen Green is nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Jalen Suggs is awesome.
Yep. Two Jalen's in the top five this year. Now, Mr. Rose, a couple other things I want to discuss with you. Keep an eye on football. It just feels like every 5 minutes, Bill Belichick signs another football player. Now, they've got two tight ends, right? Two brand new tight ends. Jonnu Smith sort of is their featured, and Hunter is the other one. And do you expect them to change their offense into a running, quarterback running, two tight end set, smash mouth, short passes, maybe Aguilar over the top once in a while, once you sort of like, you know, grind out in 3 yards in a pile of dust. Like, I kind of like this from Belichick and the Patriots. I'm excited about this offense all of a sudden. Do you see it going that way?
Well, you know, when they yin, you yang, and or vice versa. He like, well, we ain't about to outscore Mahomes right now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I ain't about to outscore Mahomes right now. So how can I beat him? I got to try to stop him. So I'm going to slow this thing down.
And the less possessions you get, the less room for error. And you get a couple of stops and you can get a couple of first downs on the ground, and all of a sudden you just in the game because. Not a margin for error for either team goes either way. So that's kind of how I see them building their team. That's really how they played at the beginning of last year before Cam got injured. That's what he was doing to be effective. And then once he got injured, he looked a lot different when he got back from COVID, just not being effective, but also his accuracy wasn't the best. Cam was throwing the ball into the ground. We talked about it a lot.
Yep.
That's going to have to improve also.
Well, another thing about this team is they want to win 14 to 10. They brought Van Noy back. They've got Jalen Mills. Like, they really want to win 14 to 10. And if I believe in anybody, it's Bill Belichick doing it. And he's never spent like this. So I feel like he's like, listen, I had my first losing season in two decades. Something's got to change and went out and spend a bunch of money. And I'm excited about what they did. And I'm excited to see if they can, you know, go up against the Bills in the AFC East.
He was on his smoky this offseason. Pissed off, man.
Jalen, before we move on, two things I want to mention to you. First, time is running out to enter ESPN's Tournament Challenge. Get your brackets in before the NCAA Tournament tips off Friday at noon. You can sign up now for the Tournament Challenge at ESPN.com/bracket. And don't forget, you can boost your bracket with the ESPN Plus Bracket Predictor. Use the Bracket Predictor to analyze each matchup, get recommended picks one game at a time, and import your picks directly into ESPN's Tournament Challenge. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com. And check out ESPN's newest podcast, Daily Wager. Daily Wager is a podcast for all your information on tonight's games and the biggest plays. Listen to Daily Wager every weekday afternoon, wherever you get your podcasts. We've got to give the people what they want. Part of that is hearing from the people. We've got a really interesting direct message, a cultural regional direct message.
Ooh.
So this is from Annie Peters.
Dun, 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 dun.
Her fiance's dun, 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 dun. Name is X-A-A-D. So I don't want to get the name wrong. I'm going to say Zad. I believe that's how you say it. Shad. I do not know how to say it. But it's X-A-A-D, and I really apologize to this human being if I'm mispronouncing his name. I'm going to say Zad moving forward. I apologize. Here's the message. Help. My fiance, Zad. I'll say my fiance, who looks like Jalen, and myself, who looks like Jacoby, need a cultural regional debate settled. Leaving leftovers in the microwave because you plan to eat them later, but not so long that you want them to cool in the fridge and then require reheating. Her fiance claims that this was a regular routine in his family in Philly, but I've never heard of it at home here in Indy. He's relocated to Indy, but this habit continues. Shout out, Reg. Keep giving the people what they want. Jalen, cultural regional, leaving your leftovers in the fridge because you don't want them to get too cool in the microwave because you don't want them to get too cool in the fridge. Cultural regional.
I want to say this respectfully. Okay. I want to say this respectfully.
Whenever you say that, you're about to disrespect somebody. You most likely.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Because I fall into this category, so I'm not talking disrespectful about myself at all. I'm talking about me in particular and others. Like, this is more than cultural. This is more than cultural. This is what Negroes do.
Oh God.
Like for real, like this, like yes, absolutely. Oh my goodness! First off, you bring me the food and it's already hot, and we not eating it right now. First off, a lot of times we ordering the food to go, to let it cool off, to put it in the fridge to eat it tomorrow. First off, like so that's already you. If you get a chance to go eat, you ordering something for tomorrow.
So this is putting it in the microwave. Like you just had half your meal. You know you're going to be hungry in 2 hours. So instead of putting it in the fridge or leaving it out on the counter, you put it in the microwave specifically.
Dog, let me finish. Not just the microwave, dog. The microwave is a smaller space. In the oven.
I've seen that.
Oven, dog.
My wife was like, by the
way, let me finish. And every now and then, there's once every 3 to 4 weeks, someone falls asleep with those items in the oven or the microwave? And then the next day, do they A, still eat them, or B, throw them away? 75% of the time, still eat them. Do not throw them away. And then the final part of this entire excursion is the reason in your mind that you're doing it is probably what makes it the most cultural. You're telling yourself, I'm going to let this cool off before I put it in the refrigerator, when really that action is actually irrelevant overall based on you rewarming the food. Your thoughts, sir?
My wife looks more like Jalen than me. I've had like a cup of coffee or something that cooled off, so I'm going to heat it up in the microwave, and I will pop open the microwave and find some food from like a day ago just sitting in there.
Correct.
And I'm just like, what? Like, what was the point of this? And it's sort of like, I think that her philosophy is it's sort of hermetically sealed. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like keeping it safe. And also what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it in there and reheat it. So let me save myself the step. Like, it's going to end up in there. So why place it in a different location if that's where it's ultimately going to go to get reheated? So it's like a time saver, and it's like a Ziploc bag of a box to put the leftovers in. I think that's what's going on in her head.
But you reminded me of the most important point that I almost forgot. Thank you. Is that once every 3 to 4 weeks, you look down at the oven and the smoke coming out of it. Because somebody turned on the oven,
yep,
and that old food's still sitting in those containers, still sitting in there.
Yep. Annie Peters, thank you so much for the question.
That was a great one.
The answer is definitely cultural. And I support all power couples, but I definitely support interracial power couples.
Definitely.
Like Jalen's and myself. Definitely. We always love to hear from the people, and part of hearing from the people is going to the voicemails. If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. If you leave us a voicemail, we will put it on the show just like this.
Yo, first off, shout out Reg. Shout out the crew. Y'all keep giving the people what they want. This is your boy Fitz in H-Town. Quick question for y'all. You mentioned the other day about it's easy in pickup ball to get away with off-ball illegal screens, you know, holding people as they're moving around the court. And I guess asking for the people, what other types of fouls are easy to get away with in pickup basketball from your experience? Just let me know, because I'm trying to work on my game. I'm not the best shooter. I'm not the best jumper. So I need a little bit of edge out there. So keep giving the people what they want, and appreciate it.
Jalen Rose, you are the greatest NBA analyst walking the planet right now today. However, I am the greatest pickup basketball analyst walking the planet here today. So I will start on this one. And let me tell you something. I used to be athletic. I used to get past my defender and like finish at the hoop with my knuckles at the rim or my knuckles at the backboard. I can't do that anymore. I used to dunk. I used to just drop step dunk. Can't do that anymore. I used to shoot. I used to be a threat from three. Can't do that anymore. So do you know what you do when you get older? You start playing dirty. You start using your arms and your elbows in ways that you've never used before, because you can't really affect the game like you used to. So let me get, I got a long list of fouls that you can get away with. First of all,
get it.
You can't call a loose ball foul. You can't call an off-ball foul in pickup. You can't call an off-ball foul. It's never happened. Now, you can ask to check it up. Like, if Jalen Rose sets the most illegal screens I've ever seen, if he sets an illegal screen on me, that dramatically changes my ability. Yeah, dramatically changes my ability to play defense. You can ask for a checkup, but you don't get the ball. That's not change of possession. You can ask for a checkup for a loose ball foul, but you cannot change possession. But let me tell you the most effective thing you can do, caller. And I love this question. The most effective thing you can do.
Jacoby has never been excited in the history of this program. Go ahead.
Here's what I do. Here's my move. Is if my defender is trying to help someone who's driving to the basket, I'll hold your arms down. You're not blocking that. You're not even getting near it. You're not getting near it. It's holding defenders down so they can't help. That's a big one that affects the score without you doing anything. It does piss off your defender, but guess what? Call it. That's what I always say. Like on rebounds, like if I hold your arm down and I grab it with the other hand and you complain about it, I'll just say call it. Call it next time. Go ahead. Call a loose ball foul. Go ahead and do that. You can definitely do that. And also, it's really just about, another thing is, you don't even have to set a screen. Sometimes I'll just be grabbing someone's stomach when my man's making a cut, so they end up a step behind. Guess what, layup? That's it. It's really about just getting real handsy, using your arms and pushing people and holding arms down and just making people mad, because this definitely gets under the skin of your defender as well. It's mainly on offense. But on defense, I'll grab you. I'll definitely grab you. If you're on the box and you're going to cut out to the wing to get the pass, I'll just hold you. I'm basically like a cornerback at the line of scrimmage. That's what I am. In that 5-yard box, when you can do whatever you can to the receiver, that's basically what I am. It's an off-ball offense and defense. Mr. Rose, your thoughts?
I'm just so enthusiastic about how happy you are about this topic. I want you to keep going. Really, it's so amazing.
Oh, I can keep going? I'll keep going? Guess what happened? It was someone called it when a rebound's in the air, right? Anything goes. You could pull out a billy club and hit somebody in the back of the head in pickup, and no one's calling anything. If it's a loose ball, you cannot call. Loose ball basically turns into rugby until someone gets possession. It's basically a fist fight until someone gets possession when the ball comes off the rim or the ball's bouncing around and no one has possession of it. Loose ball fouls, my man. All loose ball fouls are a go.
I'll say something that you can get away with and pick up, really. Not rewarding people who don't call foul. You know the guys or the young ladies that drive to the bucket and think that, oh, you know that's me. You know that's me. And then, like, everybody's supposed to stop every time that they feel like they get touched. Eliminate that. Don't give people calls. That's a big one right there. They ain't giving you no calls. Because what happens is you giving them calls force them not to call it, and then it seems like they calling less fouls than they really are.
If you are playing pickup basketball and you're not scoring by twos and threes, you're doing it wrong. But another thing, if you're playing pickup basketball and someone calls a foul and makes the shot and they get the bucket, you are not playing pickup basketball correctly. You call
no
a foul.
And ones. No,
no,
and ones.
No and ones.
No and,
no
ones.
And ones. I hate no it. And I hate it.
No,
if someone says foul and gets the bucket and starts running back like they're strong.
Like
they scored. Yeah, no. You said foul, so we check up. And that discourages people from calling fouls, which is the whole entire point. And here's another thing. It's call your own fouls. And if we're not playing and ones, I'm not giving you a foul. You see what I'm saying? Like, if I really foul somebody hard, I'll let you know. I'll be like, all right, that's you. You know, you can have that one, even though you didn't.
That's what I just said, dog.
Yeah, but it's like, no just doubt. Because you keep your mouth shut, it's on you. You're your that's own
me.
Referee.
That's me.
You're your own referee. You are
that's
your
me.
Very own referee.
Come on. You know that's me. You know you got me. No, I don't.
Mm-mm.
No, I don't.
It. You didn't call it.
Yeah, I don't know I got you.
And another thing that I'll do in pickup, Jalen, is you know that commercial where the ref calls possession for one side, but then the guy on the other team goes up to the ref and says, honestly, that was me. It's actually off me. And the possession changes. I'm that guy too. You know how many times it's just grazed my fingertip and gone out of bounds? And everyone says, did that hit your hand? And I want to say no so bad, but I just can't do it. I got to be honest. I can't do it.
Well, it don't matter. I agree with that.
I can't do it. I can't lie. Yeah. I can't lie to get possession.
Well, pickup is an entire honor system. Like, just even the physicality of the game is an honor system, you know? Like, oh, you playing physical? I'm playing physical. Okay, cool.
Jalen, I was playing pickup, mask on, playing with doctors, so everyone's vaccinated. And this is something that really bothers me because you know I can't really shoot from distance, right? Like, I'm like a 15% three-point shooter, and I hit a three. I didn't just hit it like it looked like I looked like Steph Curry, like swish, swish, right? And then this dude, toes on the line, that's a two. And I feel like I hate the toe on the line police. You know what I mean? I just hate that. I get it. Yeah, maybe my toe is on the line, but I'm a terrible three-point shooter. Just let me live. You know what I mean? We're talking about a millimeter here. Let me live, all right? I'm not a toe on the line police. And I can't argue with you either because like I'm looking at my feet while I'm shooting. So I can't even say anything. I got so mad. That's so mad. Man, I love pickup basketball so much. I want the vaccine and I want spring to come so I can play outside. Poof. Oh, Jalen. I love pickup basketball so much. I hate coronavirus so much. Let's move on. We got time for one more voicemail. But that one got me excited. Let's listen to the next one.
What's up, Jalen? What's up, Jacoby? Matt from Ohio. Shout out Reg and the whole crew. I just wanted to shout out Cleveland, give Cleveland some love. I wanted to mention Muhammad Ali won his first heavyweight championship in Cleveland. They called him by his Christian name, Cassius Clay, but he refused to get his praise at that time. My question's for Jalen. Jalen, have you ever met Muhammad Ali? This sounds like if anyone has, it'd be you. Just want to hear some Muhammad Ali stories if you got any. All right, peace.
It's only appropriate during tourney time that Jalen breaks out the Muhammad Ali story. Floor is yours.
Well, I set a high bar. And when people expect me to know Muhammad Ali, that's a high bar.
You're over it.
Good. I mean, you know, that's awesome. Thank you for the call. I appreciate the love. Absolutely met Muhammad Ali multiple times, actually. Multiple times at different phases of my life when I was younger. As a member of the Fab Five when I was in the league. Later in his life as he lived in Michigan. He's from Kentucky. My godfather, Ted, and he know each other. You know, I have a lot of different ties to him. But my favorite Muhammad Ali story since his tournament time was when he was staying at the hotel and the Fab Five were also staying there. And we realized that he was staying on whatever floor he was staying on. So we just basically stalked Muhammad Ali's floor and went down to his room and begged the security to meet him. And at first they kind of shooed us off or whatever. And then we went back and got the whole team. We was like, hey, forget that. We about to meet Muhammad Ali. I'm like, dog, we about to meet Muhammad Ali. I recall me physically saying, I'm meeting Muhammad Ali, dog. Straight up. And fortunately for us, he let us in the room. He's an amazing man. Rest in peace. He was doing magic tricks for us. He was telling jokes. And he's the one that coined the phrase, y'all gonna shock the world. That's why if you notice in, when they always show our one shining moment, well, no, they'll never show us on one shining moment. What am I talking about? When they show us on Fab Five doc or like some old throwback clips and you see Juwan say, I know we're going to shock the world. I told you we're going to shock the world. That's because we got that straight from Muhammad Ali's mouth. That was straight from the legend. And so that's my favorite Muhammad Ali story in particular for the NCAA tournament.
I met Muhammad Ali at the ESPYs, and this was towards the end of his life, unfortunately. And obviously, he didn't have the energy and the mouth to express himself the way he used to, but he still wanted to interact with people because he's a legend. He's a fan. So what he developed as he got older was magic tricks, because that was a way that he could give people joy, interact with people, especially kids. And when I met him, he was just doing magic tricks. Like, that was his thing. He would always had like 5 or 6 magic tricks like in his pockets, or you know, or something that you had in your pockets that he could make disappear and reappear or something like that. That was my Muhammad Ali story. Jalen, I just want to say that it was great to have Juwan Howard on the show. Thank you so much. And now, as the tournament starts, playing games of this evening, I want you. Juwan's not listening. It's just me and you talking. I want you to honestly, truly evaluate your expectations for the Michigan Wolverines as they head into the tournament.
Like, I would be disappointed if we don't make the Final Four for sure. We 1,000% a Final Four team, even without Livers. So if we lose before the Final Four, that means somebody stepped up and rocked us. Mm. And I ain't going to be happy about that. So let me just put that out there. Once we get to the Final Four, I'll feel better about our chances depending on who it is. Because this is going to be like one of the more unique championships in the history of the league, because the teams aren't traveling. The teams aren't traveling. Like, do you know how crazy that's about to be? The teams aren't traveling.
Yeah, that's wild.
Right. And, you know, like, we don't know how, but there are going to be some upsets. There are going to be some crazy upsets.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I don't anticipate Michigan going to be one of them. And at that point, once we get to the Final Four, I'm going to feel like we just as good as any other team. But I am looking forward to seeing Gonzaga, how they going to fare, how Baylor's going to fare, how Ohio State, Illinois going to fare. They all have really good teams. So let's get it started.
I got a soft move or boss move, and it's about someone who's hanging on the walls in our studio. A gentleman that I was lucky enough to meet and get a picture with, Barack Barry Obama. I call him Barry O because we're homies. And Barry O filled out a bracket. He had in the Final Four, Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, yeah. Illinois. Soft move or boss move? Filling out a bracket and putting all the number one seeds in the Final Four.
Well, you heard Chicago say, Juwan say it on the show, and I'm going to say it now. Barack loved Michigan, and he from the south side of Chicago. So I know he was picking Juwan team, for sure. It's only a soft move if it's not accurate, right? It's only a soft move if it's not accurate. Because as soon as the team lose, then you can say, oh, all he do is pick chalk. But if he's right, then you'd be like, well, you know, hey, we weren't trying to reach for a forced take. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
How many times have four number one seeds made the Final Four in the NCAA tournament since it expanded to 64 teams in 1985? Let me look at this.
85? I would say maybe like 35% of the time. More than you realize.
No. It's four that's number one in all from all the brackets?
More than you realize.
What year did it happen in 2008? I think it's only happened once. The only time all four number ones made the Final Four was 2008. It happened once with Pitt, UConn, Louisville.
Really?
You know what?
That can't be right.
I should probably stop doing research in the middle of the pod. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I should probably stop doing research in the middle of the pod.
But, can't be right.
I could be right. I could be wrong. But I'm most likely wrong. You know? You don't come here for accuracy. You come here for the banter.
No, they don't come here for accuracy.
You don't come here for accuracy. Whenever we make a list, we always get someone off of it. Yeah, you're not going to get any of that. But we're always going to give the people want what they want, and we will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Anthony?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.